If we've not met before, my name's Jenny. I'm a member of the church here, and it's really lovely to be speaking to you this morning. So this morning we're going to be continuing our mini-series that Miles started last week, which is called All In for Jesus. And today the kind of, I suppose the title of the talk is Being a People of Presence. So last week Miles kicked us off. He talked a little bit about how Jesus calls us to live in community in his church. And today we're going to explore that a little bit more. We're going to think about God's plan for the church and how the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit can enable us to fulfill the church's mission. So our passage today, we're going to be looking at it in a bit of detail. So if you've got it open, please keep it open while I'm talking through. So it's Acts 1. It's the very start of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is in the New Testament, and you find it right after what we call the Gospels. So this is four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels were written by friends of Jesus or people who kind of witnessed his life on earth, and they tell the story of his life and his ministry while he was here on earth. And the book of Acts comes right after these. It's kind of a sequel, if you like, to the Gospels. It's written by Luke, who's one of the disciples who also wrote one of the Gospels. And it picks up the story of what Jesus began to do and to teach after the resurrection, so after he dies and is raised back to life. And people sometimes talk about the Gospels and kind of think about the Gospels as the totality of what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. But actually Luke, the author of Acts, he kind of sees it differently. So he knew that the Gospels were actually just the beginning of Jesus's work. They were just the start. Jesus is still at work, and Acts is the kind of start of this next chapter. So, in Acts 1, the book opens, as we can see, after Jesus has been raised from the dead and appears to the disciples. It says that he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke lots about the kingdom of God. Then, one day, as they were eating together, he tells them about this gift they're going to receive, which he calls the Holy Spirit. And after he says this, he gets taken up to heaven right before their eyes. And I kind of love the like, really matter-of-fact way that Luke kind of talks about all of these different happenings. When, in reality, when you think about it, kind of as Jill alluded to earlier, the last month or so for the disciples would have been an absolutely wild ride. First, they have their friend Jesus. They're kind of working with him, walking with him, living their lives alongside him. Then they see him executed right in front of them. Then, kind of while they're still processing this, a couple of days later, they hear that he's been raised from the dead. He's alive again. They meet him. They see him with their own eyes. Here in Acts, it says they spend 40 days, so a couple of weeks, kind of hanging out together. He tells them about what the work is going to be continuing. One day, he makes this great promise that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and then he disappears again. He gets taken up to heaven, literally right before their eyes. I mean, I love a good emotional roller coaster. I love a story with twists and turns. But if you just think about this month, the disciples, this is next level kind of emotional roller coaster. We can just only imagine how they must have been feeling. One day excited, then upset, devastated, delighted when they see Jesus rising from the dead again. And to be honest, I think at this point of the story, probably pretty confused about what has been going on. But at this point of the story, luckily, they've still got Jesus there. So they've got him there to answer their questions and to give them answers. And you can see that that kind of happens in this passage in Acts 1. So what we're going to focus on today is looking at three things that the disciples could learn from what Jesus says in Acts 1 and from the events of this passage. And when I was kind of thinking about this talk, I was sort of thinking about it as the things that the disciples could learn, basically because I'm not above dishing out some unsolicited advice to a group of men from 2,000 years ago. But also because, in honesty, from this point on in the Bible, the followers of Jesus have a lot in common with us. They follow him, but they don't have him there as a physical presence. They have the Holy Spirit instead, same as we do living in 2025. So these things we're going to look at today are kind of things that the disciples of Jesus could learn then, but also things that we could learn today. So these are the three learnings up on the screen. We've got number one, trusting God's plan, what it is, not what we would like it to be. Number two, committing to God's mission. And number three, doing everything in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, number one, trust in God's plan. what it actually is, not what we might like it to be. You can see in this passage, through the chats that the disciples are having with Jesus, that these guys are really preoccupied with this idea of kingdom. You can see in verse 6, they say, "Lord, at this time, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus kind of speaks about the kingdom a lot through his teachings in the Gospels. And when he does speak about it, you can kind of see that the disciples are thinking about the idea of kingdom in quite practical terms. They're sort of assuming that he's talking about an immediate kingdom, a political kingdom, a national kingdom. They're asking kind of, will it be done at this time? Jesus, are you going to get this kingdom going now? They want this immediate action and this immediate resolution. And this reminds me a lot of how we can act, how I in particular can definitely act, kind of assuming we know God's plans and God's intentions and asking for them to be fulfilled immediately in our own lives, in our church, in the world, in a way that makes a lot of sense to us, kind of on our own terms. But in Jesus' response to the disciples, he kind of reframes this. So in response to their question about whether he's going to be restoring the kingdom right this minute, Jesus tells the disciples two things. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he says this, Jesus is kind of, I think, saying to the disciples, dream a little bit bigger, friends. Kind of stop worrying about the detail, but also broaden your understanding of what my kingdom could look like. These guys were thinking of the plans concerning the kingdom for a small group of people at one particular time in history, but actually Jesus is thinking of all of the world and all of human history. In other words, I think what Jesus is saying here is God's plan, God's timings, that's God's business. Like, don't worry too much about that. God's mission, however, so you will be my witnesses, this is your business. This is what I want you to be worrying about. And we see that kind of reiterated by the angels who appear at the end of the passage. Jesus has been taken up into heaven. The disciples are all sort of standing there, like open-mouthed, looking at the sky. Fair enough. That feels like a rational reaction to me. But the angels come and they say, "Why do you stand here looking in the sky?" They say, "Jesus is going to come back. Don't worry about that. He's coming back. He said he would. He will. But in the meantime, stop just looking and waiting for him. Didn't you hear what he said about being my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth?" Cool. So the second thing I think the disciples and us could learn from this, commit to God's mission. What does Jesus mean here when he says to the disciples and he gives them this mission, "You will be my witnesses"? Like, what does he mean by that? Well, I think he's kind of giving them a whole new identity as his witnesses. If you notice, he doesn't say, "You will go and be my witness." He doesn't say, "You will go and witness," but he says, "You will be witnesses." It's about who we are in God, not about what we do. Every Christian is a witness. Just by being a Christian, becoming a Christian, you become a witness. A witness is somebody who testifies what they have seen, what they have heard. For the disciples in this context, that meant going out and telling people what they'd personally seen and heard from Jesus about his life, about his death, about his resurrection. For us today, this is about testifying what God has done in our lives. It's the same thing, really, really similar. We are called not just to talk about the theology, but to talk about our own personal experiences of God's power and God's love in our lives. It's about living in such a way that points people who see us to the power of Jesus and to the truths of Jesus. And it's about being a disciple of Jesus ourselves, trying to become more like him, trying to follow all the ways he says to live. So being truthful, being kind, forgiving people who hurt us, helping people in need, comforting people who are suffering. Jesus' death wasn't the end of his ministry. I think this would be really clear now to the disciples who've witnessed him alive again and spent 40 days with him after he's risen from death. He's asking the disciples here to carry on this work that he's done, this work that he's seen them do while he's been on earth. And the vehicle that he's chosen, well, like Miles spoke about last week, that's the church. The church is central to God's eternal plan. This kind of idea of the church being the vehicle for God's mission comes up a lot of times throughout the New Testament. In Ephesians 3:10-11, it says, "His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." The church is God's chosen instrument to display his wisdom, to embody his presence on earth, and to carry this mission that he's given to the people. It's not an afterthought. The church is kind of central to the plan. So, the mission is witness. The vehicle is the church. Let's get on with it. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, the third thing the disciples could learn, do everything in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to the disciples here in Acts 1, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father's promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days' time, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus is saying here, the Holy Spirit will come, the disciples will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and then they can go out and be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. He tells them to wait, not to act, until the Holy Spirit arrives. He says, don't leave Jerusalem just yet, but wait here for the gift my Father promised, and then you can go and do the mission that I've given to you. Being my witness is your new identity, it's your new job, Jesus is saying. But I'm not asking you to just go and do this in your own strength. I'm giving you the power of my Spirit in order for you to be able to do this. I was thinking of a good metaphor for this. See what you think of this one. Last Saturday, I was visiting our lovely local Horniman Museum, just like every good Forest Hillian, don't know, does basically every weekend. We all know we're all there every weekend. And we were down in the music gallery room, which is the one kind of in the basement. So for people who've not been recently, there's a room in the Horniman Museum which is filled to the brim of musical instruments. They've got ones from every continent on earth. You've got woodwinds, you've got brass, string, drums, like you name the instrument, you will find it there. But crucially, none of the instruments are being played. They're all in cases, they're all behind glass, they're all silent. And I think this is a bit like us without the Holy Spirit. Trying to do God's work, trying to fulfill this mission that God's given to us without the Holy Spirit is like a violin without a bow being drawn across it. It's like a clarinet without air flowing through it. Trying to do God's work without God's power just doesn't work. I'd love for us to kind of pause for a sec here and just think about what this might mean for what we've got going on at the moment. Thinking about exactly what Jesus says here, wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't go out just yet. Wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you can go. Is there any particular kind of witness that might spring to mind that you're doing at the moment? It might be a ministry in our church. It might be a friend you've been talking to about your faith. It might be your own discipleship with Jesus. Whatever you're doing, have you waited for the Holy Spirit? The next time you're kind of thinking about your ministry, thinking about what kind of witness you're doing, just before you get started, just pause. Just check you're not trying to do this by yourself. Check you're not getting carried away and just wanting to crack on with whatever it is. Wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be able to do it. And if you're perhaps still uncertain about what Jesus has in mind for you when he talks about being a witness, if you're struggling to see kind of what this mission could mean for your own life, don't worry. Allow me to refer you back to point one. Trust in God's plan, what it is, not what we would like it to be. The details of God's plan for our lives, for our church, for our country, for our world, they're really not for us to worry about. God uses all of us in ways we could never imagine or never expect, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2:13 it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." It's God, it's the Holy Spirit who does anything that we are trying to do so much better than we could do in our own power. God's mission requires God's power, not human power. The things that God calls us to do, so be witnesses, love enemies, forgive radically, share his message courageously, aiming to be more like Jesus, these are kind of supernatural tasks. They require supernatural power. And there is zero expectation from God that you'll be required to do it alone in your own strength. And that is something I find so comforting. And I think it should really empower us to be courageous as a church as we think about the mission that Jesus is calling us to, whatever that might look like for your own life. He's not asking us to do it in your own strength. There's no expectation that you'll be able to just go off and do it in your own strength. God provides the power, and the job for us is just to show up. So these are, I think, the three learnings that the disciples could take away from Acts 1 and things that are still relevant for us today. Number one, trusting in God's plan, what it is, not what we'd like it to be. God knows what it is. We don't need to worry. Number two, commit to God's mission. That is for us to worry about. We've been asked to be witnesses. What does that look like in your life today? And number three, do everything in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's be a church that fully trusts in God's plan, is fully committed to God's mission, and is fully tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, without the Holy Spirit, we're not really a church at all. So I suppose that's the takeaway. That's the main one. Everything we do, we need to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own power. And also, let's make sure we're dreaming big, like Jesus is directing the disciples. I think it can be a bit easy for us to get focused on our own lives, our own church, when actually God's field of vision is so much wider than anything we could ever imagine. And then finally, let's remind ourselves again of what Jesus says here to the disciples. The last thing he really says to them when he's on earth, so the kind of key point, I assume, he wants to leave with them. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We don't need to worry about God's greater plan, God's timings. We're given our mission to worry about. That's to be witnesses. We've been given the means through which to do this, which is our church. We've been given the power, which is the Holy Spirit. And let's just ask for more and more and more of that. So I'd love to invite you to stand if you're able, and love to invite the band back up, please. And let's just pray together as we finish this morning. Jesus, the story doesn't end with your death. Your work that you're doing on our earth didn't end with your death. It didn't end with your resurrection. It didn't end up with your ascension to heaven. Your plans on earth are continuing. They're ongoing. They're alive and they're in action today. God, help us to trust in your plans and know that they are good. God, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit working in us. I just ask this morning that you remind us again and again and again that we can't do anything in our own power. You are the power in our veins. You are the power that makes us able to fulfill the mission you've given to us. God, I just ask for more and more and more of your Holy Spirit in our church this morning, and in our lives this week. Amen.
Thank you. make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Let's sing that again. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Let turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Lord bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you.